Testing, testing. Okay. Hey everyone, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billy Day, and today we're going to be discussing the Wonders of the Ancient World, but part two. So please make sure you listen to part one so you can kind of get a little bit of background on what's going on. But in part one, we discussed three of the ancient wonders: the Pyramids of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and the Statue of Zeus at Olympia. This episode, we're going to be talking about the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus, the mausoleum at Halicarnassus, Colossus of Rhodes, and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. So, yeah, I'm excited to do this episode too. And I hope all of you are well. I know I am. I am currently sitting at home. Relaxing. It is very hot here in Maryland. Also, if you presently live on the East Coast, you know that you might not hear it, but please know that there are cicadas everywhere and they are a curse to us all. So for those who don't live on the East Coast or don't live in America that are listening, cicadas are these awful, nasty looking bugs. And they have big old red eyes, and I think they're blind, and they have these disgusting wings, and they erupt from these little cocoon things. And keep in mind, they leave the cocoons everywhere. They come out, they literally mate, and then after they mate, they die. So I think they live for like, 2 days or something, but the screeching is out of this world. So I also work in DC, so Washington, DC, let me clarify. And Washington, D.C. is significantly hotter than the surrounding areas. Because I think D.C. was a swamp at some point. I don't know, something like that. Anyway, D.C. is a lot hotter than most places. So while people here in Maryland don't really see that many cicadas, for those of us that live or work in Washington, D.C., they are everywhere. I went into the elevator to go to work, and there was a cicada in the elevator with me, and I just wanted to die, and I thought my life was going to end. So, but the last time, now, contrary to popular belief, the cicadas come out every year. They come out every year, but they just come out little by little. They just pop up. You barely even see them, but every 17 years, they decide to pop out in this little brood thing, and there's millions of them, maybe billions of them. And the last time that they came out, I was in third grade. And I specifically remember my third grade teacher, Miss Lape, who is terrified of cicadas. But we had to have recess. So she took us outside, but the cicadas were flying everywhere. And I remember her just crying, just sitting there crying, because somebody had to watch us. And she was just so terrified of them. But I understand, because they are absolutely hideous. And not only are there crushed bodies, because they either get stepped on, eaten by birds or a squirrel, they leave their shells everywhere, because I don't think the birds eat their shells. So their shells are stuck to like stairs, the ground, awnings. It's awful. And I've gone on longer than I should have about the cicadas, but just know that I'm living in a nightmare, and I feel like I'm Will Smith in I Am Legend or something. It's awful, because if COVID didn't ruin the beginning of our summer already, these flying demons have. So those of you who don't live over on the East Coast or in America, you are extremely blessed. So it's time to get into the episode, because who wants to talk about cicadas anymore? Oh, and I also meant to tell you that now that I'm looking at, while I'm recording, I'm watching the little sound meter go up and down, and my friend who taught me how to use the little software, he said, just keep yourself in the green, don't get to the red part. And turns out every time that I laugh, I get to the red part. And then listening to myself over, I can hear my laugh is just so louder than the audio. So forgive me, because my laugh is already obnoxiously loud, but now it's actually loud, and I can see like the metrics for it being that loud. Okay, we see, there I go. Look, I've gotten to the red part. Ha, 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 ha. See, Okay, let me chill out because I'm probably bursting your eardrums. All right, let's get into it. This is history you actually wanted to know with Lady Billy Day. Okay, so the first wonder that we are going to talk about is the Temple of Artemis at Ephesus. So a little background on the goddess Artemis. Artemis was the god of the moon, hunt, and chastity. She was not the daughter of Zeus's wife, though, even though her father was Zeus. Zeus proceeded to have sex with a woman named Leto, like Jared Leto. Anyway, Hera, in her jealousy, chased Leto across the earth and forbid her from giving birth on solid land. So Leto found a loophole, and basically what she did was she escaped to an island and she gave birth on a tree branch because technically she wasn't on earth, so she could give birth. But while she was running away from Hera and she was trying to give birth, Hera would like stop her, so she was in this constant state of trying to give birth. Artemis was born, and then I think she grew into an adult within 9 days or something like that. And she helped her mother give birth to the god Apollo. But Leto is not the only person that Zeus has gotten into trouble. There was one scenario where Zeus had sex, either he raped or he had sex with a nymph. And Hera, his wife, was so jealous and angry that she turned the nymph into a bear and killed the bear. I don't know where Zeus is in all of this. He's got all these kids running around. He's got all these mistresses running around that his wife is murdering. Where is he? Probably off having sex with someone else. Well, anyway, Artemis, she walks around with this bow and arrow. Kind of like Artemis from Young Justice. If you're a nerd and you like the Justice League, then like the character Artemis is. You see where I'm going? Anyway, so she also has a love story. She meets this man named Orion, and he's just as good as fighting as she is, and hunting animals. And she's surprised because look at this human who is as good as I am. And then, they start to, become a couple, but I don't think they have any sex because she's the goddess of chastity. But anyway, they just fall in love. So there are multiple stories, but this is the story I've heard the most. In this rendition, her brother Apollo, who is her twin, becomes really jealous of Orion and Artemis's relationship. So he sends a scorpion to kill him. But Orion, being the good hunter he is, he escapes. But he only escapes by jumping into like a body of water and swimming away. So he's swimming away, he's escaped, blah. So Apollo goes to his sister and he says, "Look at that little thing over there in the water. I bet you can't hit it with an arrow." She was like, "What? Of course I freaking can." And she hits whatever that thing is with an arrow, but it turns out to be Orion. And she's like, "Bro, I love Orion." No. So she decides to put Orion in the sky. So he's like a constellation, basically. He also, not he, she also puts the scorpion in the sky, along with three Pleiades to keep him company, maybe? Whatever. So when you look into the sky and you see Orion's belt, it should be like Orion, the three Pleiades, and then somewhere down the way it should be a scorpion, but Artemis worked it out so that the scorpion and Orion are never on the equator at the same time. Which is kind of cute, I guess, but also crappy of Apollo. But the gods are all crappy. Back to the actual wonders. The Temple of Artemis was discovered by archaeologist John Wood in 1869. The temple is located in modern-day Turkey, and it's one of the largest temples dedicated to the Greek gods. And it's double the size of typical Greek temples and took over 100 years to complete. However, Greece or the Greek Empire is susceptible to a lot of earthquakes, and that destroys a lot of infrastructure. So basically what they did is that they built the temple in a place where earthquake wouldn't affect it. Like some swamp thing, I think, something like that. Anyway, the structure itself was 127 had 127 columns, and each of the columns were 55 feet high and was constructed mainly of marble. Eventually, the temple was destroyed by fire on purpose by some weird dude. And the story goes, I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. It's like H something. Anyway, the H guy, he decides, you know, I'm just going to burn down the Temple of Artemis because, you know, I'm trying to be all that in a bag of chips. And my sister's texting me and she should know in my sister telekinesis that I'm recording a podcast. Ugh. Anyway, the H guy, he decides to burn down the temple. I don't know what becomes of him, but it's completely destroyed, basically, except for its foundation. But everyone's asking, where was Artemis? Where was Artemis? Like, how could her temple be destroyed? Turns out, Alexander the Great was born on the same night that the temple was destroyed. So legend has it that Artemis could not come and save her temple because she was helping to give birth to Alexander the Great. The temple was eventually rebuilt to its former glory, but in 401 CE, the temple was destroyed by Christians because, you know, we're trying to get rid of pagans. So they destroyed the entire temple. And it's kind of like what we discussed last episode where we talked about the statue of Zeus being no longer used due to Emperor Theodosius outlawing pagan worship. The only thing left presently in Turkey is the foundation and a portion of the columns that are left. So if you go visit Ephesus, that is all you'll see. And also, you know what I thought of when I was doing my research for these two episodes? Emperor Theodosius. I have a thing for Hamilton. So, dear Theodosia. Dear Theodosia, what to say to you? I just love Hamilton. It's just the best. Anyway, on to the next wonder. It is the mausoleum at Halicarnassus. The mausoleum was created in 350 BC and is located in modern-day Turkey. Turkey again! The tomb was for a Persian governor who lived there named Mosul. He ruled for 24 years and was very, very popular with the people. And he moved the entire city to Halicarnassus and began to really develop it, build it up, just get things going, really. Eventually, he just, you know, died of natural causes in 353 BCE and never really saw the mausoleum completed. His sister, who was also his wife, Artemisia, commissioned the building of the rest of the mausoleum for them both to be buried in. So basically what it looks like is my husband's iPad. Basically what it looks like is like this box, this really, really high box. And on top of it are 36 columns, which are about 40 feet high. And the roof was kind of like this pyramid thing. But his wife spared no expense and only hired the best to complete the mausoleum. For her husband, Mosul. Next to the mausoleum. Something, something, knife in a bedpost, but you're just a line in a song. Drop a heart, something, break a name. You're always sleeping in and sleeping for the wrong team. We're going down, down in the earlier round. And sugar, we're going now swinging. I'll be your number one with a bullet. A loaded gun, cocked something, cock it and pull it. Okay, sorry. Anyway, his wife only hired the best for the job and she spared no expense. And they were both buried together. However, the mausoleum collapsed in the 1400s AD. And in 1522, he and his wife's crypt were raided. So now it no longer exists. The word mausoleum is derived from the word mausul. And it set the stage for, I guess, husbands and wives creating these huge crypts for one another, because eventually the modern wonder, the Taj Mahal, was also a mausoleum dedicated to the wife of like an Indian king or something like that. On to the next wonder. Oh, and forgive me, by the way, My husband has his iPad. You know what? Let me just kick his iPad out the room because it keeps beeping and I can't turn it off. Hold on. We're back. Anyway, so the third wonder is Colossus of Rhodes. Colossus of Rhodes was erected on the Greek island of Rhodes around 280 BC, and it was in honor of the god Helios. Helios was the son of a Titan, and he eventually becomes the patron deity of Rhodes. After the people of Rhodes were able to defeat the Macedonians who had invaded them, they decided to create a statue to the god Helios in 305 BC. And basically they were able to finance this huge undertaking because of the spoils of war that they had gotten from the Macedonians. It was created by a Greek sculptor and was 110 feet tall, but what made it even taller was it was sitting on top of like this 50-foot platform. It took about 12 years to complete, and it was significantly taller than the statue of Zeus. The platform itself was like the length of the columns at Artemis's temple. Pliny the Elder, who was a really, 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 really good ancient historian, noted, "Even the statue lying on the ground is a marvel. Few people can make their arms meet round the thumb." So it was a huge creation. But how did they really build it? So they built it by basically making a cast of the statue out of bronze and iron. And the base that it stood on, that 50-foot platform, was made completely out of marble. The feet and ankles were then attached to the base. And then they made the rest of the statue with some sort of like earthen ramp. So he's usually depicted as a man whose legs are shoulder width apart, and he's holding a torch so that sailors could see him from afar. But then again, nobody really knows what he looked like or how he stood or anything like that. But we do know that he was at least used as a landmark for sailors coming into Rhodes. It only stood for about 50 years before it was destroyed by an earthquake, of course, around 226 BC. The statue was broken at the knee, and then after that it was done for. It wasn't like an arm fell off, like it was done. And for years, the pieces of the statue just kind of laid there. But eventually in 654 AD, 800 years later, when Arabs invaded Greece, they tore down the statue completely and sold it for pieces. And prior to the Arabs arriving, Ptolemy III had offered to rebuild the Colossus, but a prophecy said that they shouldn't, and they just left it as it was. The Colossus of Rhodes inspired the Statue of Liberty in New York City, USA, And Shakespeare refers to it in his play Julius Caesar, Act 1, Scene 2. He writes, "Why, man, he doth bestride the narrow world. Like a Colossus, we are petty men. Walk under his huge legs and peep around to find ourselves dishonorable graves." However, the officials in Rhodes presently would like to recreate it. So we'll see how that goes. And finally, the Lighthouse of Alexandria. The lighthouse was located on a really small island just off of Egypt. And it was commissioned by Ptolemy I. Now, Ptolemy I was a friend of Alexander the Great. And when Alexander the Great passed away, he didn't have like a will or anything to say who should get what. So all of his friends divided his territory up, and Ptolemy got Egypt. They began building the lighthouse in 280 BC and took about 30 years to complete. And it was one of the most expensive wonders. And it was the largest right after the pyramids. The lighthouse burned for those who were coming into the harbor, helpful for sailors, and during the day, if they couldn't see the fire, there was a mirror that the sun reflected off of to kind of show them where they were going. Eventually, most of it was destroyed by an earthquake. I don't know what's going on with the ancient world and earthquakes, but everything came to worry about earthquake. It was destroyed by an earthquake and was turned into a fort in 1480 AD. And finally, it was destroyed by another earthquake, and then all of it was gone. There's a rumor that Alexander the Great is possibly buried there, but nobody really knows. And in 1994 AD, parts of the lighthouse were found on the seafloor, where it remains today. And from what I know, the Lighthouse of Alexandria housed an extensive library. It had like translations for languages we don't even know how to translate today. Lots of information was lost when the Lighthouse of Alexandria fell. I think it was one of like the biggest losses of historical record in any time period. So that's an interesting fact. However, these are all seven parts of the wonder. So we discussed the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Statue of Zeus, the Temple of Artemis, the Mausoleum at Halicarnassus, the Colossus of Rhodes, and the Lighthouse of Alexandria. And don't forget that all of these wonders set the stage for the seven modern wonders, which are the Great Wall of China, Chichen Itza, Petra, Machu Picchu, Christ the Redeemer, the Colosseum, and the Taj Mahal. So, it's like history repeating itself. But anyway, yeah, I think my takeaways for all of these wonders are, is that no matter what time period, humans will always innovate, which I think is great. I guess throughout history, it's a good and bad thing. Because if you think about it, think about the Colossus of Rhodes. They built it on, I guess, some sort of seaport. How in the world were they able to create a statue of that height and it was surrounded by water? How did they do that? And there's no way to tell how, or even with the pyramids of Giza we discussed last time, we don't even know how the pyramids were made. We just know that they were made well. Made on point, they still stand. They're the only ones still standing. What else? I mean, if we think about the, if it hadn't been for some pyramids, I mean, if it hadn't been for some earthquakes, a lot of these would still be here. Because, I mean, there's parts of the Temple of Artemis that are still here. I think human innovation is an amazing thing. And I think we have such achievements. Because if you think about it, we have like Steve Jobs doing the iPhone, which is cool. But I don't think Steve Jobs would have been able to create a pyramid that would last thousands of years. But I don't know. But I just think it's cool. That's my spiel. Don't forget to leave a rate and a review. What else? Oh, and don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Lady Billie Day. That's B-I-L-L-I-E Day. Where I love to interact and meet my new followers and just post stupid stuff. I just love meeting you all. I'm just really grateful that people listen and think that history is cool with me. So, I don't know. We'll see how things go. All of you guys be safe out there. COVID is still a thing. Put your mask on. I know CDC says not to, but put it on because I will. For those of you living near me, I pray for you during this terrible plague of the cicadas. May God have mercy on our souls. Until next time, this is History You Actually Wanted to Know with Lady Billie Day.